How many of you made a New Year's resolution just under, maybe over a month ago for 2022? Normally, I have a couple of them, and normally they don't last overly long, or at least not all of them will last terribly long. You resolve to exercise more, and it snows constantly, and so there's no way I'm going outside to walk when it's 30 below zero. You resolve to get more sleep, and then your favorite TV show happens to be on at 10 at night, or it's YouTube, or it's the Facebook spiral. You resolve to take naps, and you realize that you are physically incapable of napping. I tried that once. I think it lasted maybe 2 days that I actually napped. That's why I drink so much coffee. That is why, instead of making New Year's resolutions anymore, I'll instead try to set goals for myself for the new year. It's a slightly different idea of how you are approaching this new year. In our elders meeting a couple of Thursdays ago, we talked about our goals for this year for the congregation, what we are going to strive towards together using the resources and abilities that God is giving us, or that God has given to our congregation. And one of the goals that we discussed, one that I think is good for all of us to consider, is how best to use the spiritual gifts that we have been given. Now, the first thing to acknowledge when we are talking about spiritual gifts, as Paul does in our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the first thing to acknowledge is just how broad of a scope this term spiritual gifts even is. After all, Paul says there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And then he goes through at least a dozen of these spiritual gifts: utterance of wisdom, utterance of knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And those are just the ones that we see in about three verses in our reading today. If we look ahead to to what follows this in 1 Corinthians 12, we see even more. If we look elsewhere in Paul's letters, we see an even broader variety of spiritual gifts. Administration is listed by Paul as a spiritual gift. Hospitality is a spiritual gift, one which our congregation has in abundance. Music can be a spiritual gift, which I've been trying to encourage more and more in our congregation among those who are blessed with that spiritual gift. Now, if you know of anyone else who has that gift, or if you do yourself, I'm always looking for more instrumentalists, or our choir can always use another voice or two. Now, not all of us are blessed in the same ways. Not all of us are given the same spiritual gifts. I know, for example, that I do not have a gift for languages, or at least not the way that we commonly think of it. After years of study, I'm pretty good at reading and understanding the Greek and Hebrew, but I just don't do the conversational languages the way that my sister can pick it up from, like, a few months of living in Panama, and she speaks Spanish fluently. I can't perform miracles or heal. That is not my spiritual gift, so please don't ask me to heal your cancer. I do not have the spiritual gift for hospitality, or at least not in terms of cooking and baking. I'm really glad that so many of our members do have that gift. Of course, it's a good thing that I don't have all of the gifts. It's a good thing that other people have these gifts. All kinds of spiritual gifts are important and valuable and necessary for the church and for the local congregation. Thank God that He provides all of these different types of spiritual gifts to His church, to those who can use them. Paul describes the church in terms of a body, where it is a single body and yet with many different members, all of which have complementary but different gifts and abilities or functions within the body. All of the members are valuable, all have a contribution to make. We don't all need to have those same types of spiritual gifts. And in fact, having different spiritual gifts is necessary. Different gifts are necessary in different circumstances. A gift for administration is necessary under certain circumstances, but not everyone needs to have that gift. Someone needs to have the gifts which are being administrated. The gift to distinguish between spirits is an important one, but not everyone needs it. It's okay to defer to others who possess a gift which you yourself lack. Not everyone needs to have the gift of hospitality, otherwise we'd get buried in brownies. Someone needs to sit and enjoy as others use that spiritual gift of music. All gifts are necessary, and different gifts are useful for different places and different times. But ultimately, what is important is that we recognize the gifts which we have been given and put them to use in a way which glorifies the God who gave them to us. That's the difference between a spiritual gift and a talent. It's simply one of semantics or definitions. You might say that the usage defines the term. In this case, the usage defines the talent. When you use your technical abilities, whether it be your computer skills or what have you, when you use those in your work, then that is a God-given talent being put to use to provide for your family. When you use those same abilities to serve the church, that is putting it to work as a spiritual gift. In other words, what makes a spiritual gift is not what the talent is. What makes the spiritual gift is how it is used. And there is nothing wrong with using such abilities for yourself, for your own benefit. In fact, it's important for us to make use of the talents which God has given to us in the ways that God gives to us to use them. To use them for supporting ourselves and our family. God gave you the ability to look at a spreadsheet and figure out where the money is going for a reason. And part of that reason is to make you a talented auditor. God gave you the ability to improvise and adapt new ways of accomplishing difficult tasks for a reason, because someone needs to build the better mousetrap. You have been given these abilities, and it is only right to use them to provide for your daily bread. And in fact, that is how God gives us our daily bread, not by raining bread down from heaven, but by giving us the ability to work and earn. In fact, there's a misunderstanding in American Christianity, in Christianity in general, that there is something profane about earning an honest living with the abilities which God gives to us. We think that being a pastor or a Lutheran day school teacher or a DCE or a deaconess or someone who works in the church, that that is inherently more honorable and noble and God-pleasing than any other profession. You are a better Christian if you are a pastor than a farmer. Someone needs to feed them. But that is not by any means the case. All godly or all honorable professions are God-pleasing in their and necessary in their own right. In fact, Luther was once asked by a cobbler how he could best be a Christian cobbler. He thought that the way to be a Christian cobbler would be to make his shoes and put little crosses on the toe caps or on the seal, on the heels or something. Instead, Luther simply told him, make good shoes. That is how you be a Christian. Anything is by doing it to the best of your ability. And yet, there are also ways to put your talents and spiritual gifts to work for the good of the church, which is what Paul encourages us in 1 Corinthians 12 when he says that to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. If you have the gift of teaching or hospitality, you can lead a Bible study or a fellowship group for your friends and neighbors, and there are plenty of resources available to help you get started. If you have the gift of music, you can sing in the choir or play in the band or play during worship. If you have a gift for listening, you can be an open ear for those in need. If you have the gift of generosity, you can give generously of your time and resources to help anyone who is in need. If you have a gift for art, you can bless and beautify the church by your talents. If you have a gift for hospitality, you can help to make this a welcoming congregation. I can go on and on about this, but hopefully the point is made. However, the gifts themselves are not the end of the story. While spiritual gifts can take a variety of forms and have a variety of uses, the source is the same, and the source is the key. All of these gifts come from the same place, and that place is God. In verses 4 through 6 of our reading, Paul emphasizes not the variety of the gifts, but the sameness of the source. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. All come from God. The gifts given to each of us might be the same, might be different, but they all come from that same place, from God. That is a very powerful impact on how we view the gifts that God has given us. It's possible, and I'm sure that many people can be jealous of the gifts that someone else has received. Maybe you wish that you could bake as well or play an instrument as well. Maybe you wish that you had someone else's gift. However good and wonderful those gifts are, they come from the same place as your gift, which may be different from one of those. Thank God for the gift that he gave to you, rather than wish for someone else. And someone else having a different gift does not invalidate or trump your gift. God gives that same spirit to all of us so we can serve him by serving one another. We have all received that same spirit as members of that same body, the body of Christ, into whom he has breathed his spirit by our baptism. We are united in the church by our baptism, by the receiving of that one spirit. We are also united by the variety of our gifts by their source. And so God gives to the church all of these various gifts for the church's good, whatever gifts the church needs in any time and place. Paul tells us that to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Spiritual gifts are granted not just for our own good, but for the common good, for the church, for those around. Certain times and places will have a greater need for certain gifts than other ones. For example, if you have ever wondered why the gift of healing is not used or granted more commonly in America today, I think you can look to this as an explanation. Healing in the New Testament was used as a confirmation of Jesus' message and as a confirmation of the apostles' authority to confirm the message of the gospel which they were proclaiming. We do not have that same need for that today. Its time has passed, at least in America. And there are other gifts which the church has been given today which are more important for the good of the church, for the good of the people. The talents, the spiritual gifts that you have been given, however, have been given because they are necessary, because you are necessary to the church. And so here we are, almost a month into 2022. Statistically, most people have already given up on their New Year's resolutions by now. But that's not what I am challenging you today. You, people of God, have been blessed beyond measure. Your loving Heavenly Father has adopted you and made you his children in your baptism. He has fed and nourished you with his supper. He has forgiven and redeemed you, taking away your sins. Not because of anything you do, not because you have been given a spiritual gift or haven't been given a spiritual gift, not because of anything you do, but because of his great love, which sent his own son to the cross to pay a price that you could not. And as if all of that wasn't enough, he has also bestowed on you his Spirit, granting you gifts beyond measure of faith, of forgiveness, of love, and yes, other things like these other spiritual gifts of discerning spirits or hospitality or music or all of these. What an incredible God we have. And so as we look ahead towards this year, I encourage you to consider what gifts God has given you and the ways that God might be calling you to use them to his glory. Yes, that does include material blessings, but even more than that, the spiritual gifts that you have received. How can we all work together as that one body of Christ, building one another up in Christ with the spiritual gifts and talents that God has given us? Not to our own glory, but to the glory of the one who empowers us through his Spirit. For to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And all of these gifts, these manifestations of the Spirit, are empowered by that one same Spirit for the good of the church, for the good of his people. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.